Scripture says this, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. Do you see a man who excels in his work? It's one thing to excel in your work. It's another thing to excel in your work and walk in humility. And I'm so very, very grateful this morning for Moses and for how he excels in all that he does. He excels in his vocation now of being a pharmacist, and he's excelled as serving as a pastor, Foursquare pastor in Nigeria. He excels as being a brother in the Lord. He excels at being family here. But he also excels in walking in humility. And as I've watched his life, I've watched a grace and a humility that he brings. He speaks with authority and anointing and confidence, but also with humility. And this Palm Sunday, he's going to come in and bring God's word to us. And so can I invite you to give a warm welcome to Reverend Moses Ojemakende.
And I'm very grateful to you for giving me the opportunity to stand before the congregation this morning, being Palm Sunday. Hardly can you see a pastor leaving his pulpit on this occasion like this. So I'm very, very humble. Thank you very much. And the same thing to the team, praise worship team, I hope we follow them when they sing. Not just only the reading. They are part of the worship. They are doing a great job. They said, his grace is free. Death has no power again. And that is all it's all about. They spoke, they've given us the message for today. What else do I have for us to go home? However, we can't but look at the Bible before we go. I want us to open our Bible to Luke chapter 19, from verse 29 to 40. I will beseech you, brethren, to open your Bible. And if you don't have Bible, use your iPhone. It has Bible. Download it. I want you to follow me vividly. I'm reading from NIV. Luke 19, from verse 29. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a cot tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untied it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untied the cot, its owners asked them, why are you untied the cot? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the cot, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your triumphal entry to Jerusalem. We thank you because you decided to go through this route because of us. We thank you for the work you accomplished on the cross. We thank you for the free salvation we have in you. And everything you did for us is free. Father, we give you all the glory. And we give you the glory concerning today for us to gather together and meditate in your word and see and look back what you have done in our lives and the application of it in our lives. Father, today, we don't want business as usual. We want you to speak to us. We want you to open our mind. What we need today is what we want to hear. Not what I have prepared, no. But what individual requires to meet his or her challenges this morning. We want you to speak and meet our needs in the name of Jesus. So that at the end of this service, individually, we give glory to you. And we'll be able to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jehovah. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we are about to look into the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. I've read the portion of one of the Gospels. This event, this singular event, was recorded in all the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all of them recorded it with a minor differences. If you look at it, and for you to comprehend what is going on today, this particular hour, called Palm Sunday, you have to go through the Gospels. Not go through only the Luke I read, or John. If you go through the Luke, did you hear anything like Palm there? Where we read, did you hear anything like Palm? So also when you go through Matthew. Until you get to John. John specifically mentioned palm leaves. That is where the name comes from. However, I'm not interested in telling you the archaeology, historical part of this event. I will leave that one for Brian. He's our great teacher. He teaches us how to relate Exodus, all those things to New Testament. He will soon start a lesson. As from May 4th, in this local assembly, we are going to start a fresh lesson on prophecy and the last day. Every Saturday by 7 p.m. Who is our teacher? Brian. He will tell you more about what I'm reading. If it's him that is taking this topic today, he will tell us, taking us to prophecies, how it was prophesied, how Jesus will come, how we ride the donkey, he will teach us. But I'm not interested in that. My interest is to focus on Jesus and how it affects us today. Amen. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, which took place on Sunday, that I refer to as Palm Sunday, is the Sunday before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the last week on planet Earth. The story of this triumphal entry can be found in all our synoptic gospels with some minor differences in presentation, as I said before. And if you listen closely to our worship team today, they spoke, they worship, they let us know the importance of this last week of Jesus on earth, how death was conquered. What he suffered for us, how he called you and me, and is now saying, please, buy, take my yoke. My yoke is light. Come, drink, everything is free. And he's still inviting you. And that's the message, the central message we have today. And when we look at Luke chapter 19, verse 32, I want to point out one thing there for you. Luke 19:32. Bible records that those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he has told them. I'm pointing out one of the quality or character of Jesus there. He's all knowing. We are serving God that is not maybe. He doesn't predict. Maybe it will happen. Maybe it will not happen. He's all knowing. He told them precisely what will happen, and it happened like that. When you get there, somebody will challenge you. Just tell him that Lord needs it, and it will release it. When you go through the scripture, when you go through the gospels and the epistles, you will see such things. That should tell you that this God we are serving is God of certainty. He knows everything. We are not, our faith does not based on maybe, scientific approach, maybe, hypothesis, theory. No, but it's based on something tested and confirmed. He says so, and it will be so. I want you to have that confidence in your situation. You are serving God that know where you are today. Everything that happens to us is not coincidence. I want you to know that it is God's knowing. Let's continue. Luke chapter 19:39 tells us how the Pharisees wanted Jesus to stop the followers from praising him. Rather than preventing them, Jesus said to the Pharisees that if these people keep quiet or stop praising him, the stone will take over. That's amazing. That's to tell you the importance of a worship team. And when we examine that fact very well, you will see that we human beings, unless Christ is in us, we have no value. Your dogs, your cats are more important than you. Jesus said, if these people keep quiet, stones, non-living things, we replace them. Even he placed the cots he was riding, he placed all living things, all animals above us if we keep quiet to praise him. God doesn't need you and me. We need him. Because if we keep quiet, all non-living things and living things we you see can praise God. The leaves, the waves on the ice, everything that he created can be a source of praise to him. And that is why we should not look on ourselves and think much more than what we have. Bible tells us that what do you have that's not given unto you? And why are you behaving as if it's not given unto you? I want us to note that this Palm Sunday, as we are worshiping the Lord, it is a privilege for you and me to worship him. God can receive praises and worship from other things if you fail to worship him. You are not doing God anything if you refuse to worship him. Jesus told them that if these people, if they keep quiet, if they refuse to worship me, stones will take over. our lives is a gift from God. Everything we have, they are gifts from God. That is why the Bible says that everything we have is given unto us, but He is the giver of all good things, as written in James 1:17. Even our lives are given to us, we do not have any authority over it. We need to praise God all time. Otherwise, the chances that we may be replaced by stones are high. Anything, both living and non-living creatures, can praise God if human cease to exist. Everything. Ready? In this passage we read, John was honest enough when you read the account of John concerning the triumphal entry of Jesus to Jerusalem. John was honest enough to let us know that when this thing was happening, the disciples did not realize what was going on. They did not understand. They could not fathom what was going on. They just say, oh, just ordinary thing. If you read John 12:16, I want us to read. John 12:16. It says, at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things has been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Getting the cut, putting the cloaks, putting the palm leaves, putting the bunch of trees, they did not know what was going on. Do we know whom are we serving? Do we realize who Jesus is? Do we think coming to church is the end of it? No. And if we do not understand, it's not you alone. Even it happened to disciples. When Jesus was walking on high sea, he told them, be still. Don't worry, it is me. Then Peter stood up and said, oh, if you are, if you are, can I jump down? Can tell me to come to you? They doubt his identity. So also many people are doubting Jesus' identity today. Many people are still thinking, is he the baptizer of the Holy Ghost? Is he the soon coming king? Is he the Savior? Is he the healer? If he is the healer, why am I still sick? Why did I pray? Why do I have nail problem? If he's still the healer, many people might be thinking like that. Why my situation has not changed? Why my condition remain the same? What I want you to let you know, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the healer and is our soon coming King. Jesus is not one of the saviors. Jesus is not one of the ways. Jesus is the way, the only way. If you are still doubting the identity of whom Jesus is, you are still thinking he's either there or not. No. I'm confirming and I'm telling you to this morning that Jesus is the only way. The essential of the gospel is that Jesus is the only Savior. You can market the gospel any way you want, but the main product is Jesus is the only Savior. The cross is the hinge of the Bible, as they sang to us this morning. It is incredible to know that even the Old Testament, the cross is conspicuously written if the Old Testament is adequately studied. In one of our teaching here, they've proved to us how cross is written all over the Old Testament. Palm Sunday leads to Jesus going through the cross. And through the cross, God dealt with our sin. It is through the cross we have forgiveness of our sin. The identity of Christ and the essential of the gospel is Christ is the Messiah. And that is what they were singing when he was on the donkey, when he was marching or going to Jerusalem. And the people were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" That is, save us now. Save now. Why are they saying that? The historian will tell us, I told you I'm not interested in that, that they are under the Romans rule. The Israel were in bondage, even in their own nation. They are being ruled, and they want somebody to set them free. And they were looking, because they read about the Messiah that will deliver them. They were looking unto Jesus to deliver them. And that is why they are shouting, "Hosanna, save us now. Save now. Lead us into rebellion against Roman kingdom. Lead us to fight them. We know you will command the legions from heaven to fight them on our behalf." But they did not realize. They missed the identity of Jesus Christ. They did not realize that his kingdom is not of this world. And that is why few hours later, those people that are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," now shouting, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him." What am I saying? Jesus may not meet your expectation. Your expectation might differ from what Jesus' mission is. Jesus, before he left the praying ground, when he was praying, he said, "The will of the Lord must be done, not according to his own will." In our challenges, in all our situations we are passing through, do we expect Jesus to do as we are thinking? I would like to go through my notes because maybe I put it a little better there. Say the crowd that was shouting "Hosanna," which means "save now," expected Jesus to deliver them from Roman's leadership, not realizing that government is government is not of this world. When he did not lead them to a massive revolt against Rome, they changed the tune to crucify him. On the situation that you are experiencing now, what is your expectation from God? Is it your ways or his ways? Do we believe that whatever is happening will end in his glory? Or you want your will? Jesus' mission on earth is to give God the glory. No matter the situation, even through the cross, and to complete the assignment or program God gave to him, regardless of the route he takes, through the cross or otherwise. Remember, when he was praying, he said that God's will should be done. Can we give him the glory? Even though our expectations are not met the same way we want them, or do we lose our confidence in God as a result of our expectation not met? I take that one again. Do we lose our confidence in God as a result of our expectations not met? Jesus is Lord, and he is of no obligation to live up to our expectation. He is the Lord. Amen. The crowd in Jerusalem rejected him because he did not meet their expectation. Are we rejecting him too? Because our expectations are not met the way we want it. Brethren, or brothers and sisters, whatever happens in life, as sons and daughters of God, one thing is sure, he will never leave or forsake us. His presence will go with us. I want to take you back to the Exodus. When he was sending Moses on an errand, if you read your Bible, you will know that he didn't give Moses any weapon. He didn't equip Moses with any power. He did not give him any special cloak to put on, that when you stand in front of Pharaoh, you will see a giant. No. But one thing he promised Moses was what? My presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. In any situation where we find ourselves, the presence of Almighty God is enough to give us comfort, to give us victory. The result may not be the way we want it, but his presence is enough. In Jesus' last word to his disciples before his crucifixion, he also promised God's eternal presence, which they will receive through the Holy Spirit, as we read it in John 15:26. As we all know, that in the past weeks, we have been learning about the Holy Spirit and the purpose in our lives and the church. That is the presence of God in our life. I would like us to open our Bible to Psalm and see the presence of God. Even if things are not going the way we want it, he says our God is the very help in time of need. Psalm 46. Are we there? I believe we fall open. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I want to underline that one so that you can have confidence in that situation you are passing through. There's somebody beside you that is ready to help you. Before you call on anybody, before you think that government will come to your aid, there's somebody that's very close to you, than your wife, than your sister, than everybody. He says, ever present in time of trouble. That is whom we are serving. That is you and me are serving. He's there for you and me. Even when you are sleeping with your wife, he's closer to you than her or him. And that's ever present in time of trouble. Then if you go through the first two, he tells us something to be afraid of, something that can make us fear. But his presence is there to be with us. And verse 10, the last verse he says, no. He said, be still. If you remember that word, the same word he spoke to the Israelites when they are about to enter into Red Sea. Be still. How can you be still when you see your enemy behind you? The Red Sea in front of you. Left and right mountains. Nowhere to run to. It's unhuman to be still. You will like to lynch your leader that brought you to that situation. To lynch him or kill him. But Bible says, be still. In that situation you are passing through, the Lord Jehovah say, be still. You will see the victory of Almighty God in your life in Jesus' name. As we are running up, he says, on that first end, from that first end, I will be exalted among the nation. I'll be exalted on earth. He will take glory in your situation in the name of Jesus. I want to assure you, whatever you are passing through, his presence is with us. And if his presence is with us, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Romans 8:37. I would like you to read Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. So when you pass through all these things, when you are facing challenges of life, Bible tells us that he will be with us. He's still with us. When you read the last verse of Matthew 28, he says, I will be with you till the end of the ages. He's still our ever-present help in time of trouble. The Lord promised us victory. Even though we are facing challenges, he didn't promise that we will not face challenges. He promises us victory. Our challenges that we are facing now is for a while. I want you to know that. Whatever you are facing is for a while. As you are facing earth challenges, marital challenges, whatever challenges you are facing challenges in your workplace or in your children, I'm saying it is for a while. The Lord has promised us that we are more than conquerors. In conclusion, before we can experience his presence all the time, we need to have him in our life. The presence of Jesus Christ is not for those that are not of ease. It is not a choice, but it is required that we need to give our life to Jesus Christ before we enjoy from his kingdom. Therefore, if you are not yet receiving Christ as Lord and your Savior, after the service, we always have people standing to pray for you, to encourage you, to lead you to Christ. It is not too late. All we are saying is not theory. They are not hypotheses. They are real things. Many of us can witness the goodness of God. Even though we are passing through challenges, we can still say the Lord is good to us. Let us pray.